Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 35th chapter, verses 12 to 19, the gopis sing of Krishna, Yugala Gita. Saha bala sagavatam savilasam Sāna śiṣiti pṛtāvaca deyaha Hāśayānya hi venuna vena Jātaha śarupāraṁ bhakti viśvam Mahārati kavana śaṅkita cetta Manna manna manu gacchati mekha Suhiram avyavāśat sumana pīs Chaya yacha virara prata patram. O goddesses of Raj, when Krishna is enjoying himself with Balaram on the mountain slopes, playfully wearing a flower garland on the top of his head, he engladdens all with the resonant vibrations of his flute. Thus he delights the entire world. That time, the nearby cloud, afraid of offending a great personality, thunders very gently in accompaniment. The cloud showers flowers onto his dear friend Krishna and shades him from the sun like an umbrella. Mukham karati vachana bangalagadhe yakthanam vande shiranatayam Om Gyana Tivarandasya Gyananjara Shalakaya Do what you remember from the last class? Verses 1 to 11. Yes, Leela Madhuri. Wealth of a devotee is humility. That's a very good thing to remember. Anything else? Hari Purush.
Even the demigods, which are not human,
right,
are attracted to Krishna's food.
Right.
Even the animals, even the inanimate river.
Yes.
And then even the faraway
water birds. Attracted to Krishna's flute. Yes.
The chest of Krishna.
The chest of Krishna. Cloud.
Which closes the sun.
Of the gopis' chastity.
Yeah, chastity. And also the necklace compared to the crane.
The flying cranes. Good. Necklace, yes.
The Uttama Bhagavatas does not necessarily see Krishna all the time, but they can see Krishna.
Okay, the Uttama Bhagavatas not necessarily see Krishna all the time, but they are qualified to see Krishna at any time. Good. Yes.
There are five famous, one less known.
Gita. Five famous Gitas of the gopis, and one less famous. Okay, Devakananda Prabhu?
When Krishna plays flute, bees buzz and give the correct note.
Oh, the bees. Yes, the bees give Krishna the correct note so he can start his flute song. Like musicians. Yes. Animals undergo different stages of ecstasy. Right, the cows. Then they try to cover their ears because it's too much. They think they'll die. And they become stunned and become like figures in a painting. Yes? Parvati. They're indirectly describing themselves, as usual. Okay, yes?
Sankirtan,
right. Tears of ice. Yes, even their tears were stunned. They couldn't cry. Okay, yes.
More happy Gita than others.
This is a happy Gita. Yes. Even though in separation, they're happy remembering Krishna during the day. Yes. Yes. They're happy to talk about Krishna in the day. Yes.
The trees and creepers are Trees and creepers are grihastas. Okay, and the?
Cranes and
yeah, that's right. The cranes and birds are?
Renunciates,
atmaramas. Yes, they sit and meditate on the sound of the flute. Whereas the trees and the creepers are like grihastas. They give the fruits, they give the flowers, they bow down. But the atmaramas just sit, the birds just sit and meditate. So in that way also, the trees and creepers are more fortunate than the birds, because they don't really help in Krishna's service. Whereas the birds and the trees, they can give fruits, creepers can give flowers, but the birds, what can they do? They just sit and meditate. So they're the atmaramas. Yeah. Pranayagita, chapter 29, when they meet for beginning of Rasalila. Yes.
Although the birds and the atmarams are meditating on the flute,
right,
their mind remains agitated by the ecstasy that comes from it.
Although they're meditating on the flute, the birds and the cranes, still their minds are very agitated by ecstasy. They can't meditate properly. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, Devakinan Prabhu.
You talk about five kinds of gopi.
Right.
Venu geet, pranaya geet, viraha geet, brahmara geet, and yugala geet.
Yugala geet. Gopi geet. Okay. So we'll move on to this verse. And when I read this verse, let's see. He gladdens all with the resonant vibrations of his flute. Thus he delights the entire world. So then I remember what Prabhupada said, how the world is full of Krishna's singing, and how it's actually full of the flute of Krishna playing his flute. And so we need to listen for that sound of Krishna singing. Now, to answer the question of Krishna Sarupini about what time of day, Jiva Goswami says at the middle of the day. So our speculation was correct. It's the middle of the day.
And,
yeah. In verse 12 to 13, middle of the day, Krishna has garlands on his head, wandering after the cows along the shadeless sides of the mountains. So now he's not in the forest, he's in the sun, on the sides of the mountains where there's no shade. So out of desire for the shade of a cloud, Jiva Goswami says, he plays the raga on his flute known as Malara raga. And this raga is to bring the clouds. Just by playing his flute, he can call the clouds, he can get rain, he can do so many things. So Malara raga is to call the clouds. Baladeva and his other friends echo this tune, which is further echoed by the peaks of the mountains and even further echoed by the entire world. So this raga, he plays it on his flute, Balaram and his friends echo it, then you hear the echo on the mountains, and then it goes all over the whole world. So now Vishwanath Chakravarti, I don't know who this is. No, this is maybe still Jiva Goswami, or it may be Vishwanath, I don't know. I think it's Vishwanath. Having described the joy from hearing the flute of the conscious and unconscious entities of the earth, the gopis now describe the bliss of the unconscious entities in the sky. When Krishna, so we move from the land to the sky. We heard about the water, we heard about the land creatures, the trees, the plants. Now we're up in the sky. Of course, we did start in the sky with the demigoddesses, but now we're back up in the sky with the clouds. When Krishna situated himself on the side of a hill, blissful at the sound of his own flute, began to taste the sound in order to fill the universe with that bliss, the clouds in the sky began to rumble gently so that the sound would not disrupt the great cloud of Krishna. Thundering of the clouds was favorable to the flute sound, not disturbing it in any way. On the form of the cloud called Krishna were his garland and earrings like flying cranes, and his yellow dhoti like lightning. The song of the flute was a shower of nectar. So here we're comparing Krishna to the cloud, which is raining, and the rain is the flute song. And the lightning is his dhoti in this case. And the earrings and garland are the flying cranes. So Vishwanath Chakravarti, right. That's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So the cloud in the sky is fearful because he's worried against making offense against the great soul, the cloud, Krishna. So he's very softly thundering, not like a huge thundercloud. Very, very softly. The thunder is coming out of fear. And so he thunders in reply to the sound of the flute in a favorable rather than unfavorable way. And he rains, he gives rain upon Krishna, who is his friend, because Krishna also acts to remove the distress of the entire world. So he's showering flowers or small particles of ice, which are just like tiny flowers, to relieve Krishna from the burning heat of the sun from all sides. So it could be read as flowers, or it could be read as very, very small ice particles that feels very good in the summer. Not hailstones, but very, very tiny. Now in Krishna book, Prabhupada explains this analogy. Krishna is accepted as the friend of the cloud because both the cloud and Krishna satisfy the people when they are disturbed. When the people are burning due to excessive heat, the cloud satisfies them with rain. Similarly, when people in materialistic life become disturbed by the blazing fire of material pangs, Krishna consciousness gives them relief like a cloud. So the rain in summer, when the monsoon comes, is very pleasing, relieves us from distress. So the blazing fire of Sangsara Dava Nalalita Loka is extinguished by the mercy cloud of the spiritual master who gives us, rains down Krishna consciousness. So the cloud and Krishna having the same bodily color also are considered to be friends. Desiring to congratulate its superior friend, the cloud poured not water but small flowers, so Prabhupada says flowers, and covered the head of Krishna just like an umbrella to protect him from the scorching sunshine. So this cloud is not moving. This is a stationary cloud, so he can become Krishna's umbrella. If it was a moving cloud, we're a moving cloud, then how could it give shade to Krishna? It's just standing there. I think later on we'll read some commentary that explains that. Point. So we'll go to the next two verses. Vivida kapacharane shividata Veda vajarata nijasiksha Tavasutasati yadatara vimbe Dakta venaranaya swarajati Savana shastarupatarya suresha Shakashava parameshti purokaha Kavaya anatta kandara chitta Kashmalamya yaranishita tattvaha. O pious Mother Yashoda, your son, who is expert in all the arts of herding cows, has invented many new styles of flute playing. When he takes his flute to his bimba-red lips and sends forth the tones of the harmonic scale in variegated melodies, Brahma, Shiva, Indra, and other chief demigods become confused upon hearing the sound. Although they are the most learned authorities, they cannot ascertain the essence of that music. Thus they bow down their heads and hearts. So we're still in the sky now with the demigods. We had the clouds and now the demigods. Purport. The words Tava Sutta Sati, your son, O chaste lady, clearly indicate that at this point Mother Yashoda is among the young gopis as they earnestly describe Lord Krishna's glories. According to Sri Vishnu Chakravarti, among the demigods led by Shakra, Lord Indra, were Upendra, Agni, and Yamraj. Among those led by Sharva, Lord Shiva, were Katyayani, Skanda, and Ganesh. And among those led by Parameshti, Lord Brahma, were the four Kumaras and Narada. Thus, the best collective intelligence in the universe could not definitely analyze the enchanting musical arrangements of the Supreme Lord. So all the best brains, there's a think tank, they call them think tanks. So this is the best of the brains in the universe, the demigods, the sages, and the incarnations. They were all there, incarnation of the modes, passion, and ignorance. Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, they could not understand this music. And Lord Brahma is the creator. Of course, this is beyond his creation, music of Krishna, way beyond. Now, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, this is in the afternoon. So 12:13 was at noon. Now we have gone past to the afternoon. The gopis, thinking how to get continuous sight of Krishna, went to Mother Yashoda's house, because that's where Krishna is going to come. They mixed with the elders, young girls and children, and talked about Krishna's qualities and activities. Yashoda listened and then spoke. In order to console Yashoda, who was feeling separation from her son, and also appease their own minds, they began describing to her the power of the flute's song. Oh, Yashoda, when your son, who is skillful at herding the cows, caring for them and milking them, holds the flute to his red lips and plays the various jatis, 18 chief jatis, numbering in the thousands, which were self-taught, all the devatas, including Indra, and then it goes through all of them, and others, as well as composers of songs, hear that song, and tasting the sweetness of the song, bow down their shoulders and minds. But they cannot comprehend the raga and tala. They become completely bewildered by the sweetness of the song and lose their sense of judgment. If the devatas become bewildered, what can we say of ordinary mortals? Your son bewilders the whole universe. And so, Brihadbhagavatamrita, first part, it describes, this verse is quoted in the purport, but also the main verse is a summary of the last verses we were hearing, and also this verse. It says, Brahma, Rudra, Indra, Chandra, the Siddhas, and other demigods moving in the sky were overcome by changes aroused in them by the current of ecstatic love. So too were the cows, bulls, calves, and wild beasts, the trees, birds, bushes, creepers, and grass. The rivers were overcome, and the clouds, and all other beings, both moving and non-moving, alive and inert. Each of them underwent a transformation by which their own nature changed into a nature just the opposite. So what do the demigods have in common with the rivers, the trees, the creepers, and all the other living entities? The clouds, what do they have in common with all of these living entities when they hear Krishna's flute? They have something in common that this was described by Sanatana Goswami. What is that?
They used to be the most intelligent, but they turned out to be the most
foolish. Yes. So their nature changes into a nature just the opposite. You heard in the last verses how the trees started moving and they with their branches and bowing down. We heard how the rivers stop moving, which is against their nature. Rivers move. And now we're going to hear about the demigods. And they and the residents of Rajadham so powerfully affected by the constant flood of prema. So as Adi Purush Prabhu said, Brahma and the other demigods, wisest, most respected authorities in all fields of knowledge, lost their power of discrimination and became like simple fools. They lost their power of discrimination by hearing Krishna's flute. Another thing that happened to them, those who were accustomed to staying in heaven were attracted to come down to the earth. Normally they stay up. They wanted to come down. So this is opposite to their natures. And the cows and other animals who normally roam the fields seemed to achieve samadhi. They stood still like immobile plants, whereas the actual plants, the trees, bushes, and creepers, became like animals trembling and moving about. The lifeless rivers and lakes became as if alive, overflowing with ecstasy. They sometimes stopped their currents completely and sometimes flowed wildly. And in the sky, the wind-blown clouds became fixed in one place. Here's assuming the roles of umbrellas shading Krishna and his devotees from the sun. So all their natures became the opposite. The clouds became fixed, and the clouds and rivers, which are moving, became fixed. The animals became fixed. The trees started moving. The demigods wanted to come down, and they also lost their power of discrimination. They lost their intelligence. Now this verse is also quoted in Nectar of Devotion, chapter 22. Quality of Krishna, quality 63, is attractive flute. In 10th canto, 35th chapter, verse 15, the gopis tell Mother Yashoda, when your son plays on his flute, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Indra, although they are supposed to be the greatest learned scholars and personalities, all become bewildered. Although they are all very great personalities, by hearing the sound of Krishna's flute, they humbly bow down and become grave from studying the sound vibrated. So here they're concentrating. They're trying to figure it out, but they can't figure it out. They can't. What is this raga? What is this tala? What is going on here? We don't know. They can't figure out his beat. Of course, Krishna, when he plays his flute, sometimes he has the names of the cows, sometimes he has the names of the gopis. So how are they going to figure out? Because it's not for them. The flute is meant for the cows, it's meant for the gopis. So it's not meant for Brahma and Shiva and all in Indra. So naturally, they're not going to be able, their names are not there in the flute song. So it's just like when you make a phone call, as our Tera Kadamba Baba says, we have different numbers for different people. Number one on Krishna's mobile is the gopis, the hotline when he plays his flute. And number two is Vatsalyaras. Number three is the cowherd boys. And number four is the cows. And so, but even the trees and creepers, although their name is not there, they're getting disturbed too. They're all getting disturbed. So this is wonderful. So these people, it's not for them. It's not for Lord Shiva, Lord Rama, and Indra. He's not calling them. Of course, by it playing his flute, they are attracted, even though their names are not there. But still, they're attracted because they want to use their intelligence. They're so intelligent. So an intelligent person, if it's something he doesn't understand, intelligent person wants to know everything, because otherwise his intelligence, it's a challenge for his intelligence to try to figure out everything. So these are the most intelligent, and they know everything in the universe, but here's something they don't understand, and that's Krishna's flute. They don't understand it. In his book, this is Nectar of Devotion, Vidagna Madhava, Sri Rupa Goswami thus describes the vibration of Krishna's flute. The sound vibration created by the flute of Krishna wonderfully stopped Lord Shiva from playing his dindim drum. The same flute has caused great sages like the four Kumaras to become disturbed in their meditation. It has caused Lord Brahma, who is sitting on the lotus flower for creative function, to become astonished. And Anantadev, who was calmly holding all the planets on his hood, was moving in this way and that due to the transcendental vibration from Krishna's flute, which penetrated through the covering of this universe and reached to the spiritual sky. So even Anantadev, who is holding all the planets, if he starts to move, what's going to happen? We don't know. But he was starting to move in tune with Krishna's flute. So I read a little bit from Briha Bhagavatamrita, the third volume, 146. Okay, this is verses 142 and 43 of chapter 5. Glorifying the flute. The words of the Upanishads and other Vedic texts come forth from the Lord's own divine mouth. So here, what comes from Krishna's mouth? The Upanishads and other Vedic texts, but simply by contact with his bimba red lips. That wooden object, the all-enchanting little bamboo flute, has created a sound more nectarian than the words of the Vedas and any other form of speech. So, commentary. Narada Muni is speaking these verses. Narada has a great admiration for Krishna's flute, and so he calls it by the affectionate name Vamshika. At the same time, however, he cannot help but feel jealous of the flute's intimate relationship with Krishna, which someone like himself can never have. Therefore, he also uses a somewhat derogatory term, Dharavi, wooden object. So the next verse, Hearing the sound of the flute, all the demigods and perfected mystics flying in their airplanes were bewildered in divine love, and so were their wives. Indra, Shiva, Brahma, and other demigods were so confused they could no longer tell fact from illusion. So these people know what is the reality, but when Krishna plays his flute, that goes. They lose it. They lose their discrimination and their ability to understand illusion from reality. Flying over the earthly Vrindavan, the demigods and sages in their vimanas, subtle vehicles that carry them all over the universe by the power of air, were helplessly attracted by Krishna's flute, and their wives succumbed to the charms of Cupid. When the demigods and sages in their airplanes approached Vrindavan, they first heard the faint sound of Krishna's flute from a distance. So just like the cows, first they heard a little faint sound, then what happens next? As they came closer and the sound became more audible, Brahma, Shiva, and Indra were bewildered. They were so confused, they couldn't even remember their own identities. So Brahma forgot he's Brahma, Shiva forgot he's Shiva, and Indra forgot he's Indra. They forgot who they were when they heard Krishna's flute. They couldn't even, that's confusion, that's amnesia. That's real confusion. They couldn't even remember who they were. They lost their false egos. They thought, now we can no longer be certain whether the Brahman we know from the Upanishads is actually the absolute truth. Perhaps the sound of the flute is the absolute truth instead, because it seems to be the supreme embodiment of pure ecstasy. So they are famous for knowing the Vedas and the Brahman. But in this case, they're thinking, maybe Brahman is not the absolute truth, it's the flute song. The flute song must be the absolute truth, not Brahman. So confused they were. It's because they spend their time discussing these things about Brahman and things. And they do know about it. So I'd like to read a few words from our Reverend Sannyasi Satchinandan Swami from Bhakti Rasayan. Krishna's flute playing is magical. Yamuna hears the flute and flows in the opposite direction in ecstasy. Non-moving entities start to move. Rocks start to melt. So here's a new addition to our what's happening when Krishna plays the flute. Rocks melt. When there is no river nearby, Krishna plays on his flute in such a way that Giriraj melts. Uh-oh. Not my Giriraj. And the cows drink Giriraj. Oh. Okay. The deer become so ecstatic when they hear Krishna's flute. They fall on top of each other. So all over Vrindavan, you see these brown mountains. They are the deer falling over each other. And Giriraj melting and the cows are drinking. With this description of Krishna's flute, I want to draw your attention to an important point. Krishna's flute cannot be like a flute of this world. This flute is nothing else but a converter of ecstasy. The nectar from Krishna's lips enters into the flute and is transformed into sound. So that's why when you hear Krishna's flute, everybody's transformed. Because it's not the flute, it's the nectar from Krishna's lips going through the flute and entering your ears, and then you're transformed. The flute from Krishna is so enchanting, so absolutely ecstatic. It calls not only the gopis, not only the rivers, not only everyone in Vrindavan, but all of us as well. Jiva Goswami says, the reason why a person plays the flute at all is for enjoyment. If you do not want to have higher enjoyment, you are satisfied with whistling, which is not extremely expressive. But if a person wants to increase the enjoyment, he'll immediately take the help of a flute. Jiva Goswami says, Krishna likes to increase his enjoyment, and he calls us with his transcendental flute to join his pastime of enjoyment. Krishna wants more people to join him so that the enjoyment is higher. So when we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then we're trying to hear the sound of Krishna's flute, because Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the sound of Krishna's flute, Prabhupada says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, one purport. So now I'd like to read a little bit from Venugit. Not only are the women in this universe bewildered by the sound of the flute, but all the great demigods are seen to lose their composure and become dysfunctional in their services. Lord Chaitanya, in his madness of separation, spoke the following words. The transcendental vibration of Krishna's flute blocked the movements of the rain clouds, struck the Gandharvas full of wonder, and agitated the saintly persons like Sanak and Sanatana, Sanandana. It created wonder in Lord Brahma, agitated the sober mind of Bali Maharaj, made Ananta, the carrier of the planets, whirl around and penetrated the coverings of the universe. Thus, the sound of the flute in Sri Krishna's hands created a wonderful situation. Not satisfied with limiting its influence to humans or the denizens of heaven, it travels beyond the coverings of the universe to the spiritual realm. The sound of Krishna's flute spreads in four directions. Even though Sri Krishna vibrates his flute within this universe, its sound pierces the universal covering and goes to the spiritual sky. Thus, the vibration enters the ears of all inhabitants. It especially enters Goloka Vrindavan Dham and attracts the minds of the young damsels of Brajbhumi, bringing them forcibly to where Sri Krishna is present. So it goes all the way to Goloka Vrindavan. Verses 16 and 17. Nija parachatala tachava chra Niranjanku shavichita lala mahai Vajabhu shamayan kurato dam Vashmataria tati irta venu Vajati tena vayam savilasa Vikshanapita mano pavavekaha Kusha katinkamitana vidama Kashmalena kavaram vasananva. As Krishna strolls through Raj with his lotus petal-like feet, marking the ground with the distinctive emblems of flag, thunderbolt, lotus, and elephant goat, he relieves the distress the ground feels from the cow's hooves. As he plays his renowned flute, his body moves with the grace of an elephant. Thus we gopis, who become agitated by Cupid when Krishna playfully glances at us, stand as still as trees, unaware that our hair and garments are slackening. So this is Krishna in the afternoon again, and they're remembering Krishna, but they're thinking about when they're going to see Krishna at the end of the day. So when Krishna playfully glances at us, this is the end of the day. But it's not the end of the day yet in their verses, but they're thinking about that. He's coming, he must be coming nearby. He's coming near, the time is coming when he may be on his way home. But he's going to take his time, he's going to do a lot of things before he comes home. He has to play in the Jamuna, he has to call the cows, he has to do so many things. So now they're thinking about his lotus feet, walking on the dust. We have his lotus feet up here still, on this side, left side. So you can look at these footprints, meditating on the symbols. And remember what happens when he relieves the distress of the earth reciprocates. And every time behind Krishna, a land lotus springs up after Krishna's footsteps. So a lotus is there. This is the offering of the earth. The purport. Here Mother Yashoda is no longer in the company of the gopis who are confidentially describing their conjugal attraction to Sri Krishna. It is clear from the comments of Jiva Goswami and other acharyas that the statements in this chapter were made at various times and places. This is natural, since the gopis are always absorbed in thoughts of Sri Krishna day and night. Jiva Goswami says, now they're in privacy, as required by confidential mellows of the past times, which occurred after those mentioned above. So even though they had passed the time in hearing so many different topics, still even after 3 yamas, 9 hours, Sri Krishna had not come. So this is 9 hours later, after Krishna had left in the morning. So you can figure out the time. Maybe 8:30 he leaves, 8:30, 9:30, around that time. So 9 hours. Oh, that's a long time. Huh. Three yamas. Feeling very anxious, went to search after him at the time of turning the cows back from the forest on the pretext of going out to collect flowers. So now it's time for Krishna to turn back, take the cows back to the forest. And so they're thinking, okay, let's go. Let's go out there and see what he's doing. He's late. So Jiva Goswami says this was on some other occasion that they went into the midst of the forest, and what they saw then they are now relating on a later day. So one day they actually went out, and now they're telling it. The idea of the verse is introduced as follows. O intimate friends, so much for all these different descriptions of the bewilderment of others. Just hear how we are most definitely bewildered. So beside themselves in ecstatic feeling, they speak these two verses. You know, before it's about the demigods. Now these verses are going to be their own mood. How he's glancing at them, especially also the next two verses, 18, 19, are the actual mood of the gopis. For themselves, they're speaking directly. So, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, when Krishna glances on us, we experience agitation of Cupid, and by his playful glances, we become motionless like trees. Out of bewilderment, we don't recognize the garlands in our hair, our garments are slipping. So this is... Then they say, Lord pacified the distress of the earth by placing on it his lotus feet. But as for us, he's creating distress by laying upon us his lotus eyes. This is our bad fortune. So this is implied in this verse according to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Now another from Briha Bhagavatamrita. Shri Radha and the other supremely fortunate gopis abandoned their husbands, children, and other relatives, their goals for the next life, their religious principles, and even their shyness. And the states of ecstatic love they attained left them always distraught. In such states, they complained pitifully in sweet voices and went through upheavals in which they sometimes lost consciousness, stunned like trees, unable to understand anything. So, in the commentary it says, Rukmini and other queens are the consorts of Bhagavan, but the gopis, headed by Srimati Radharani, are the favorite devotees of Param Bhagavan, personality of Godhead in his highest feature. Their love drives them to extreme states of ecstasy, as they tell in their own words. So these verses are quoted. Narada speaks of the gopis' complaints as madhura katukai, bittersweet. For those who hear them are overwhelmed both by joy and by sorrow. Everyone living in Braj during Krishna's presence was constantly immersed in intense prema. But when Krishna played his flute, the ecstasy of that prema grew unlimitedly, affecting not only those already in love with Krishna, but all beings, living and inert. So everybody was affected, even those who didn't have purvarag or didn't have any intimate pastimes. They were affected. Now, last two verses, 18-19. Mani tarakachit akkanayam ta malayata hitakanta telas yaha pranayi nucharasya karam se prakshipamu jamaka yataya chara. Well, where is it here? Panita venurava vanchita chita Krishna ambasata Krishna vihenya Gunakananam anukatya harinya Gopika ivavi mukta kihasha. Now Krishna is standing somewhere counting his cows on a string of gems. He wears a garland of tulsi flowers that bear the fragrance of his beloved. And he has thrown his arm over the shoulder of an affectionate cowherd boyfriend. As Krishna plays his flute and sings, the music attracts the black deer's wives to approach that ocean of transcendental qualities and sit down beside him. Just like us cowherd girls, they have given up all hope for happiness and family life. Okay, you're going to have to wait a minute because I think I put away my notes for this last verse here. I'll have to search them. In the meantime, you have any questions or comments on this? Yeah. Why is the sun scorching Krishna? Is he not a devotee? That is your question. Yes, the cloud had to protect Krishna. He's cooking and he's stunned. He's stunned by the sound of the flute.
He's lost control like the one with the chamara that's crying, can't do his service properly. So the son is stunned, can't do his service anymore.
Can't do his service anymore. He's stunned. They're all stunned up there, all the demigods. Surya was affected by the flute. And so he's also stunned. No, it's not a new garland. We'll find out in the next verses. It's an old garland. Maybe, but he doesn't change his garland because it's given by Radharani.
I didn't say garland, I said garment.
Oh, garment. Okay. Yeah. He goes home in the meantime? I don't think so. They bring clothes out there, you know. They're prepared. The gopas, they have chadars, they have clothes, they have everything for Krishna. So, Yeah, I can't figure that out. You got to figure it out. Yeah. There we go. Okay, yes?
So it seems there is a change in the chapter now. Before, all the verses were even.
Yeah, I know, I got mixed up there.
So this changes the tone.
Yeah, it's a change here.
They have described that even, everybody is attracted, and now they speak about themselves.
Yeah, now they're talking about themselves.
Right. So, what's the wonder that we are?
Yeah, what's the wonder that we are? Yeah, another thing that I thought of, okay, so I found my, it's only a little bit here, and so I'll just bring this also. Basically, it's just the purport. But I was just remembering that when Krishna counts his cows, it's like Tir Kadamba. That's one thing he does at Tir Kadamba. He plays on his flute, he calls the cows, and then he counts them on his strings. That's what it says here, in a string of gems, he's counting his cows in this verse. So that we know it's like afternoon, he's about to come home, and he's calling his cows and he's counting them. So let's read the commentary of Srila Jiva Goswami. Explains, in the afternoon, Sri Krishna dressed himself in new clothing, yes? Doesn't mean he went home. Even the desire trees can give him clothes. What to speak of his friends? They're always serving him. Everybody's out there with everything he needs for his pastimes. New, fresh clothes, everything. They bring his servants, his cowherd boyfriends, they bring. Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti gives the following information about the transcendental cows of Vrindavan. For each of the four colors of cows, white, red, black, and yellow, there are 25 subdivisions, making a total of 100 colors. And such qualities as being colored like sandalwood pulp tilak, speckled, or having a head shaped like a mridanga drum, create 8 further groups. To count these 108 groups of cows distinguished by color and form, Krishna is using a string of 108 jewel beads. 108 gopis, 108 groups of cows. Okay, another meaning to 108. Thus, when Krishna calls out, "Hey, Davali," the name of a white cow, a whole group of white cows come forward. When he calls Hansi, Chandani, Ganga, Mukta, and so on, the 24 other groups of white cows come. The reddish cows are called Aruni, Kumkuma, Saraswati, etc. Blackish ones, Shamala, Dhumala, Jamuna, etc. The yellowish ones, Pita, Pingala, Haritalika, etc. Those in the group with tilak marks on their foreheads are called Chichita, Chichatilaka, Dirga Tilaka, and Tiryak Tilaka. And there are groups known as Mridanga Mukhi, Mridanga Head, Singha Mukhi, Lion Head, and so on. Thus, being called by name, the cows are coming forward, and Krishna, thinking when it is time to bring them back from the forest, none should be forgotten, is counting them on his jewel beads. The Jiva Goswami gives the gopis state of mind. They state, "Alas, if even the animals are thus attracted, then what to speak of us gopis?" So this is these two verses here, the feelings of the gopis. So Krishna, he's all attractive, his eyes, his smile, his flute, his lotus feet. And in separation during the day, then the gopis remember all these different features of Krishna, especially the flute. Every verse, practically the flute is there. Because by discussing, they become happy. And this is, again, reminding us of Bhagavad Gita, tu shanti cha ramanti cha. They're enjoying discussing about Krishna. So we'll stop there. If you have any further questions or comments, you can ask them now. Adi Purush.
Taking a lot of time to count 900,000
cows. He just calls the group leaders. Yeah, and then all the groups come. Just 108, he calls 108 groups, group leaders, and then he was saying, like, there's different group leaders, and then there's, within those groups, there's group leaders. And so he's just calling 108 group leaders, leaders of groups, and then they all come. So the time goes fast. Quickly. Any other questions on this? Or yes?
Just you mentioned Narada Muni, you're reading from Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and you
right.
said that he had a name for Krishna's flute that was affection, and then he had a name that when he was just.
Wood, this wooden object.
Yes, but what was the Sanskrit?
Dharavi.
Dharavi.
Yeah, Dharavi. For wooden object.
383.
In the purport. Okay, that makes it easier. In the purport. Collection. Which? Oh, verses 2-3. I don't see anything here. In Vishnu Chakravartis. Okay, that's. Ah, my book is buried. Do you have a... yeah, I need a book. I packed my book away because I don't have... Oh. Okay, so... Page what? 383. Verses 2-3.
Oh, Shank is the leg.
Shank. I thought you were talking Sanskrit. It's English. Shank, it means, yeah, leg.
Leg.
It's a funny word for leg. Shank. Yeah, okay. Sarta Darshini. It's an English word for leg. Any other questions on these verses or comments? Okay, so we'll stop early. So when the demigods come and offer prayers and things, doesn't it obstruct his lila or his mood? Mm-hmm. Yes, they're in the way. But still, he respects them as devotees, and he stops to acknowledge them. But he'd rather get home and be with the gopis at night, or just get home, see his mother and father, and be with his friends. They're also devotees. It is their great fortune that Krishna allows them to come and offer prayers to him on his way home at night. And we heard last year when we were studying something at that part, when he comes home at night, that here in Braj, that the demigods are known to come for evening aarti every night in Vrindavan. So we should be there at the evening aarti. They also want to come, but they do come for evening aarti here. And that's the time when they get the chance to offer their prayers. Evening Archie. So to this day, they are still coming and offering prayers in the evening to Krishna as he comes home. Yes, Krishna thinks it's an obstacle, and everybody else also thinks, the people back waiting for him are thinking it's an obstacle. That why, you know, he belongs to us, why these demigods have to go in the way? But no. Actually, yeah, they think like that sometimes. And sometimes they worship the demigods. They're afraid of the demigods. But not when it gets in the way of their Krishna, seeing Krishna, then they put everything out the window, even the demigods. Any other comments or questions on Krishna's flute? Krishna playing the flute and coming home. He's almost home. Tomorrow's class, he'll come home. He'll be home. And then we're also here about, I think, is it another Arishtasura demon? Yes. Which is also at that time of day. It's in the evening, twilight time. Arishtasura came at twilight. Just when Krishna wanted to have Rasalila dance with his gopis, and the Arishtasura demon came. Okay, yes. Gopal Champu? I don't know. Maybe. No, I didn't get it. I mean, if I mentioned it, it was somebody else had it in their book. Probably in Shivaram Swami's book, quoting. No. Is there, some of the chapters and verses are there on internet or online. I don't know if the full thing may be there by now, because it was translated, but it was not distributed. I think Mahanidhi Swami has a copy. Some people have a copy. Maybe Adi Purush has a copy. No. No. He is the ocean of commentaries. And so, no. Anyway, yeah, it's somewhere in the ether. And if you're fortunate, you can get it. Otherwise, if you're not so fortunate, then you suffer until it comes out. Okay, all glories to Shiva Prabhupada.